Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Just for posterity's sake, let's let it be known for the record that I dabble in cast iron, and my husband is the king of cast iron. So I do not know. I'm married in.
You're a team. Yeah. You're a cast iron team.
I'm a cast iron consort, like consort to the king of cast iron.
Yeah.
Is that my official title in life?
Please. Gonna put it in your bio. Cast iron consort. My sister has been looking at houses, and one of them, like, just an amazing wall of cast iron. And I'm like, That's what I was saying. I was like, I can take or leave this house, but that wall of cast iron, get them to throw that in there. Mm-hmm. So it was beautiful. Like, just cast iron for all occasions.
Any house that comes fully furnished, though, like, I doubt, because I'm like, what episode of Dateline? Like, what true crime happened in this house that people were like, I don't care, just get rid of it all? Everything, wrap it up. Like, is it haunted? Is it, what causes
Probably
somebody
haunted.
To be like, everything out of my hands? Like, but it also sounds so convenient to not have to worry about anything.
But I feel like you would hate everything. Like, not you particularly, just like in general. Because you would be walking into someone else's taste everywhere.
My taste is undecorated. So any decoration is not my taste. I'm just so poor at it.
My taste is PCS ready.
Yes. On that note, welcome to the Adventure Mama podcast. We are Ashley and Nikki, and today we are going to talk about a trip that we recently took together. So it's not either of ours most recent trip, but it is the most recent trip that we took together. And for me, it's the biggest trip that I've taken my crew on, certainly solo, possibly ever.
Yeah, it was definitely my biggest solo trip.
Yeah,
it was adventure. It was adventure from start to finish. Everything was an adventure.
Tell, because you and I both approached it a little bit differently just because of life and scenarios.
Sure.
Want to explain how your adventure began, which was not at the beginning of our trip.
Sure. Have we said what the adventure is yet? Should we do that?
I don't think we did.
Okay. We took road trips and met up on the path of the eclipse to watch the solar eclipse with our kiddos in tow. It was two mamas, six children. Yeah, we have six children. Mm-hmm. I had to stop and count. One indomitable pop-up camper, two Shiba Inus.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the cast of characters.
And I was coming from Georgia, and you were coming from not Virginia.
Not Virginia. No, I was at my parents'. We always do Easter with my parents, and the eclipse was the week after Easter. And so I was looking at my schedule, and I was like, well, I could either go to my parents, go back to Virginia, and then drive from Virginia to Indiana, where we're watching the eclipse, or I could stay at my parents' and drive from my parents'. So that's what we did. By the time we got to the eclipse camping trip, my kids had already been away from home for at least a week, I think. Yeah, just about a week. Yeah. So
you packed to go to your parents' house with all of our camping gear, all of your camping gear,
yes. At least for your crew. Yes, I did. I did. It was the most packed my car has ever been. I am maybe a budgeting queen in this respect, but I had a third child and decided I don't need a minivan. My car fits five people. We'll keep my... So I have a small SUV. It's not big.
It's like a two-row SUV.
Yes, yeah. I drive an Xterra. It's not big, but my whole family fits in it. Does all our stuff fit in it? Sometimes. But somehow we managed. We fit 2 weeks worth of stuff for us, including everything we need. Like, the stuff that we need to stay at my parents' and the stuff that we need to go to, like, church on Easter is a little different than what we needed to go camping. So it was very funny putting all that stuff together. Like, okay, what do I need for like 4 days in a field? What do I need for Easter dinner with my family? But it was fine. We made it work.
Which was also like, I loved the setup of the site we were at, because it was just somebody's field. And it was beautiful on a hill with a creek and woods and more neighbors and traffic than I expected, which is fine, like, altogether. But we needed a privacy screen for the bathroom and stuff, which I wasn't expecting. But
yeah, I wasn't expecting that, it to be as open as it was. But from like a safety perspective, mm-hmm. I liked it. I didn't feel like we were tucked so far away that, like, God forbid something could happen and no one would know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Like, we were visible.
Yes. And then for our journey, we set out, and it was about a 12-hour drive for us. And leading up to it, my husband was TDY, which is, I don't remember what the acronym means, but it means he's away. He was away for about a month at some military school. Thankfully,
temporary my duty.
Assignment? TD? No, TDY.
I think I don't know what the Y is. It's a short trip.
That's not always short. He was away for about 4 or 6 weeks. Felt like a year, but that's...
You handled it like a boss.
That's on me, not on him. Thankfully, his parents were here for a week. They were here for Easter. They like, because my mother-in-law works in school, so she likes that over Easter, they can have more time over vacation to travel and see me and my family. And that was a blessing because I was able to pack and get ready. Like, I was 75% strong independent and 25% my in-laws watched my kids while I packed up my camper. And my father-in-law also did like some odds and ends things. Got like the twin bed ready because that was not assembled when my husband left.
So you had your in-laws there while you were getting ready?
Yes, and that was a great help. And then we set out, and because it was a 12-hour journey, I decided to do one stopover in Tennessee, and that I used HipCamp to plan. And HipCamp is wonderful, and I found some real gems, and this place in Tennessee was not one of them. man, and that's one of also one of my lows. This first night we hit Atlanta, traffic was horrible, and so we rolled in way later than I wanted to. I did not want to be putting the camper up in the dark, but we were, and this campsite in Tennessee was just, it was like, it was up a mountain on like a chicken farm, but also like a junkyard, also like a hunting camp. I don't know. It probably would have been beautiful under different circumstances, but my first night camping on a big trip with grumpy kids who just wanted to go to sleep. And when a kid just wants to go to sleep despite being in a car all day, that just speaks to their level of exhaustion too.
Yeah, right.
And so we go up.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first stepfather, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Also on a cliff, like, which again was beautiful, but and would have made me feel a lot better if I'd gotten there during the day. So some of it is my fault. There was also like a bunch of junk and
stuff. Did you know you were on a cliff when you got there in the dark? Or was that a morning revelation?
The nearness of the cliff was a revelation in the morning. I was aware that there was cliffs and there was also caves and stuff, which the host said not to explore or not to, or be careful. I don't know. I immediately knew that that was something I wasn't taking my kids to, but it was like a there were Native American caves and stuff. And so it was probably a very cool place, but it was very, very primitive. Like there was junk we were rolling over. And then when the sun came up in the morning, I saw how close, like the cliff was on the other side of the fire pit. And so all's well. I had to back up the trailer to get out of it. It was very tight, very steep. Like I said, like there was shards of metal on the path up there. We scrapped it on the way back. I was supposed to camp there on the way back for the halfway point, and we scrapped it and got a hotel instead. And I took a wonderful, glorious shower.
Oh, that shower was amazing.
That night, and I believe the next morning. I think I took two at that hotel. So that was a high.
Like, yeah. Oh gosh, that shower. Amazing. The post camping shower hits the spot every time.
So that was our trip. And then we rolled into Indiana at a really nice time. We had enough time to set up, met us there. Mm-hmm. It was good. From there, I feel like it was very reasonable. That was, I think, my hardest point was that one night in Tennessee. While I was on the phone with my husband in the dark, he's trying to talk me through an issue I was having. Oh, we were trying to level out the camper because we were on this cliff. Mm-hmm. I was like, it's not important. And he was like, it is though. And I was like, but how important is it? He said, you don't want to roll off the bed. And it was cold too. That night was cold as well. I think it was 34 degrees. It was just above freezing.
And it was colder than it was the following night, I remember you saying.
The first night was colder.
Yeah. And this was the second time you'd taken out the camper, right?
Yes. We did one like test trip
with your kiddos
before. Yeah.
Yeah.
With my kids without the dogs, which probably wasn't, I couldn't have the dogs there because we were on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, I researched that one a little bit. Probably not more. I was just going to make myself feel better. I don't think I researched it more. It was closer to home though, and my husband was home. It was about an hour away. So like,
yeah,
there was cell service. It wasn't very secluded.
There was like a, if things go south, an easy kind of get out.
Yeah. Could have fled for my life.
Six states away. It's fine.
Yeah. Up a mountain in Tennessee.
That's we how did we not got- have that much of an adventurous trip. Ours was, Nikki brought the pop-up camper, if you haven't already deduced that. yes. So we we stayed in a hotel for our halfway point. We also did 2 days. It was roughly, I think, about the same driving time, give or take an hour or so. Very different route.
You were coming from Pennsylvania or Jersey?
Yes, we were in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So we went like across Pennsylvania and Ohio, and I drove through snow on my way, and I was like, I don't think I packed the right clothes. It's snowing here. And that was a little terrifying, but it was fine. It was not snowing in Indiana. It was really not snowing in Indiana. Very sunny, surprisingly so. We'll get to that.
Wasn't sure if you would mention your run-in with the sun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Still bitter. We did.
But it was chilly.
Through a lot of, yeah, it was weird. It was weird. On our way, we got to drive through a lot of tunnels, like through mountains, which my kids thought were amazing. They'd never seen that before. We don't live in a particularly mountainous part of the country. So they thought that was super cool. And we had a pretty uneventful hotel stay. I picked one with a pool because that's the quickest way to tucker my kids out.
Brilliant.
It's a good choice.
And we chose Indiana for any moms. There's like, I feel like there's two very strong camps. There's moms or people who were very into the eclipse and people who could have cared less. And there wasn't much overlap. Like they were very polar opposites, very strongly divided and very vocally opinionated about.
Yeah. It was a weirdly divisive issue. I was like, it's a natural phenomenon. Like, I didn't know this was something that could make people angry. Like,
yeah. It made me a little bit nervous when like a friend called me over and they were like, hey, look, Nikki, come talk to this person. She's going to see the eclipse. And like, I was very like, oh, yes. Yes, I am. Is that okay with you?
Like, right. Do you have a strong opinion about this? Or are you about to pick a fight with me?
Are you going to judge me? But for me, it was very much it was a 1-2 punch for our crew that it was a homeschool, you know, field trip, an educational opportunity, but also we moved at that point about 6 months prior from Virginia with you guys. And so it was a great, like, it was something really great for my kids to look forward to learn about the eclipse, but also to see their friends that our adventure crew that they hadn't seen in too long.
Yeah, my kids were missing yours. I was missing you too, but we were all missing each other. It was good to have that. And you had brought this up a long time ago too. So this was a trip that had been on our radar for a while. Nikki is the queen of like, hey, in a year and a half, do you want to do this thing with me? And I go, Nikki, I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow. Sure. Like, sure. Like, I don't know anything that's happening in the next year of my life, but what I'm doing with Nikki.
Like, oh, that makes my heart happy, though. This is a secret that is not going to win me points with other adventurers, but I think I actually enjoy planning the trip more than I enjoy taking it usually. I really enjoyed being with you guys. That was a big pro for us, but in like the general sense of like our last trip that we took camping with just my little family. Great. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the planning more than the trip. If you took out the fun and the joy of planning, I would way prefer a day trip, I think.
Do you think if someone else planned the trip and you just showed up, like, you don't think that would be fun for you or enjoyable? Or, like, not nearly as much? I'm fascinated by this. I do not find the joy in planning. I'm trying to be more.
If somebody else planned it and it was, like, a little bit more bougie. So if somebody else planned it and I got like a buffet or like a cruise, I love a cruise because everything is included and it's all planned for me and I don't have to think about much. But if I'm eating grilled cheese made on a fire and I wasn't the one who meal planned it,
it's not doing it for you.
Not as much. I would do it for the sake of the education and the memories and the purpose for it, but it wouldn't be my ideal how I want to spend my time. But all of those details and pieces and fitting it together and meal planning and pack lists and, oh, I just am excited.
Every adventurer needs a Nikki because that's how you get things done.
Like, and I still forget things and like cooking spray. Like I'm not perfect.
But you did not forget cooking spray on the Eclipse trip.
It's true.
I was actually going through photos today and you sent me a picture of you and the kids in the car and the cooking spray is very prominently displayed.
That's true.
It almost looks like someone had like taken it out to play with it and then like stuck it back in the bag. It's like
probably
the children in the cooking spray.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Also, let it be known for the world that I don't know how or why it happened, but my groceries get packed in a laundry basket. So you said shoved back in the bag. It was not a bag. It is always a laundry basket. That is what we pack the food in. Don't know why. Don't know when it started. But it's just so nice to like pick up and lift and put back in the car.
Yeah, because it's convenient. It's nicely towable.
And I always store food in the car because I'm never sure, especially in new places, where there may or may not be bears.
Yes. I feel like every campsite should very clearly be like, yes, bears, no bears. Like, I want to know.
Like, they ask if there's on hip
Will there
camp.
Be bears?
This is, we should get endorsed by Hip Camp. Hip Camp, hit us up. I use you all the time. I love Hip Camp. And they ask questions like, is there running water? Or is there potable water? Are there toilets? Are there showers? Is there electricity? They ask a lot of questions. Yes. Bears is not one of them.
That is a fundamental question.
Yeah.
There needs to be a section like, are there bears? Are there snakes? What is trying to eat me? What is trying to hurt me?
Yep.
I need to know these things. Because, yeah, when you roll up to a campsite or anywhere and you're like, I don't know what is here and what is not here, could someone please inform me?
Yeah.
I still don't know. Are there bears in Indiana? Someone tell us. We don't know.
Our host said, I did ask them, like, en route, so... Not in enough advance to make like bare plans further than putting food in the car. But they said there aren't really at that, like in their county. I'm sure that there might be some rare ones around, but they said bears weren't a problem where they were at, but they said that there are coyotes.
Oh, I remember you did say that. Yeah.
So we kept the dogs for sure close.
Yeah.
They're not coyote fodder. But yeah, so I use HipCamp a lot to plan. And then I'm always surprised by the amount of people that don't use all of the functions with Google Maps. The ability to share like in groups, there's playgrounds, like people have lists of playgrounds that they share, and you can access like all of them that they made when you tap into that. Or I love building.
I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
Tools that I use to plan.
No, I mean in Google Maps. I'm one of those people. I didn't know I was one of those people until this very moment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What are we talking about? Lists of playgrounds.
So you can make a list. Like you can make a list of places you like in Google, and you can, that is shareable. So in like on the 1000 Hours Outside group, there's somebody who made a list of every playground they've been at, or every like playground that they liked. And I saved that list. And so I can view every playground that a fellow adventurer and outdoors enthusiast has said that they enjoy. So I have their list all up and down the East Coast of playgrounds. I think people use it for a point A to point B, but I've met a lot of people that don't use it to plan their whole route, including stops along the way, and save it as one trip. And that's been a really great tool for me. So like I have a route to my in-laws' house saved on my home screen. Like I know the route and it has all the different playgrounds that we stop at. And I can choose to either stop there or continue on. That and HipCamp are my two biggest resources that I use to plan a trip. And I'm a big planner, as the world now knows.
Yeah. You are the queen of planning.
I love to plan.
I do some of that with Google Maps. I don't save the routes, which I might start doing now. Because, yeah, we have several ones that we repeatedly travel.
And I've had it before too, where in the middle of a trip, my internet goes and I don't realize it. And I disconnect from maps for whatever reason, and then try to go back in and I can't pull up my route because I don't have internet access or data. Like I'm out of range. Yeah. So having that offline feature is just a comfort to me.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be lost in the middle of nowhere. With no map. That actually sounds like a nightmare to me. The queen of planning being lost with no map just gives me anxiety.
Do you keep like physical maps in your car? I don't. And I'm thinking that maybe I should. But I don't know. Like, I feel like our boys would be really into like reading maps.
Mine is a backseat driver already. And then if I put a map in his hand, he might love it, but it might drive me insane.
He just put in the noise canceling headphones. Like he thinks he's navigating.
He tells me all the time, he reads my map on the dash on Google Maps, you know? There. But he's like 75% right with his left or right still. Like he's still working on that.
I'm only 75%. I'm a grown adult. It's fine.
Just trying to navigate me, and I don't have the patience for all that all the time. So we covered the why. We went to see the eclipse, to homeschool and connect and unplug. I just also like unplugging. I loved I think our hosts kept on expecting us to want more activities. Like, they're like, oh, there's a hiking trail, or oh, like, there's all these festivals for the eclipse in town. Or,
yeah.
Like, they kept mentioning those things, and I was like, oh, no. Mm-mm.
This is it. We're here.
I'm like, no, the kids are in the creek, which was, for us, like, gosh, potentially one of the higher highs than the actual totality of the eclipse.
We still talk about that creek frequently. That creek is one of the favorite creeks, and our children are connoisseurs of creeks and ditches. Creeks just make them very happy, and I get it. Like, it would probably make me very happy too if I was that little.
Yes, so there was a perfect storm for the creek, like the perfect setup where there was fresh running water, but no snakes. It was far enough north that it was out of moccasin country. Because that was stressful for me at this last creek, was making sure that there were no leeches or snakes. And it was shallow enough that there were no fear of alligators. But here where we just camped, my family went to a creek in South Carolina. But I have no concerns about that in Indiana. Like, I knew that I did, as per usual, I knew what snakes were present, like what live in Indiana. Moccasins are not one of them. There are some venomous snakes, but none that should have been just hanging out in the creek like a moccasin would.
Nikki does not love a snake.
I do not.
They're not her friends. But she knows a lot about them because of that, which is really helpful. As someone who's like pretty ambivalent about snakes, like, they're fine. They're not bothering me. Not like she knows a lot about snakes because she doesn't like them that much.
I don't want to encounter them.
Yeah, she does not want to meet one. So she knows where she might meet one and what one she might meet. It's helpful.
My favorite, this is a bunny trail. Maybe we'll take this out. Maybe we won't. Maybe we'll leave it in. One of my favorite just like snippets, like, you know, those like memory snapshots with you and your crew, was when I was living in Virginia and your husband, it was with your husband. So adventure family, not just adventure mamas.
Yeah.
And we were at a nature area and they were tearing apart this like decomposing tree. And your husband was helping with it. And it was copperhead season. And I leaned over to you and I said, this is not condescending, but for my own peace of mind, will you please reassure me that he's aware that it's copperhead season and they're deconstructing a tree where there are copperheads and also canebrake rattlers. And you were like, oh no, I'm sure.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Sure, that's not on his radar at all. Let me go let him know. And then you came back, you went and told him, and you came back and you said, yeah, the snakes here don't faze him. Because growing up in Africa, you're like, nothing here can kill him fast enough to concern him. So he doesn't think on those things. And I thought, dear God, what upbringing did he have that our venomous snakes just can't kill him fast enough? So whatever. But it also reassured me a little bit. Like, he has, from his own testimony, fought off a mamba with a machete before. So
the man had a wild childhood. My husband grew up in Kenya and he's got stories for days. No, he just starts telling a story and you have to sit there for a minute and you're like, is this guy just making this up? Like, I can see it on other people's faces. Like, because he's also like, he's like a freckly ginger. And then he starts like telling you this story about when he was helping evade poachers in the national park in Nairobi. And you're like, this man is not for real. But anyway, yeah. Not afraid of the snakes in Virginia because they can't kill him fast enough.
Yeah, he told me about how he made eye contact with a mamba. And he was like, don't do it. Like, he had this conversation with it, apparently. He was like, don't do it, man. Don't do it. And the mamba started charging him, so he had to chuck a machete at it to save himself. He's like, I don't want to do it, man. Get back. And it didn't listen. So we offed it.
I hate when those snakes don't listen to instructions.
And you have to pull out the machete that you just have on hand at all times. And I said that. I was like, you just had a machete? And he's like, oh, you always have a machete.
Okay, but like you do.
Yeah, I mean, I
like school children, just like their casual machetes with them. Anyway,
maybe that'll be an outtake, or maybe we'll just leave it in so that every
Kenyan equivalent of the pocket knife. Where in the world? Where are we with this trip?
How do we get back to Indiana?
We were in a creek.
Yes, and it was wonderful. At one point, your son told me, I came down to the creek, and he said, I'm storing up munitions against the parents. And it was a stack of rocks. It wasn't actual munitions. I have to clarify now that we know that your husband carries machetes.
Right. My child left all his weapons at home.
It was rocks. He was storing up as munitions against the parents, against the grown-ups. And my girl, just wanted to play with his rocks. And he was like, don't touch that. That's the munitions. And or that's our ammo or something like that. And I said, well, what if she washes them for you? She just like wants to make sure everything's clean and tidy. And he agreed. He was like, okay, she can wash them, but they need to be put right back on this rock. And it's like, okay, deal. So my girl was there washing his rocks that were ammo against me.
Yeah, it was a foolish choice.
And I walked slowly away and let them be. Creek was a highlight.
Yes, for sure. We have the tendency when we read books to like they get very drawn out. We've been reading Swiss Family Robinson for a really long time. But anyway, this creek and this little bit of forest, and all of a sudden for my boy, he was like, we're playing Swiss Family Robinson. It's just like Swiss Family Robinson. And he was so excited. He was like making dishes, because they spend a lot of time in Swiss Family Robinson making dishes. And he was just very excited about the dishes he was making for his very own Swiss Family Robinson. It's very cute.
And when they were down at the creek, we were able to do things like wash the real dishes.
And yes, it's very helpful.
It was wonderful. We didn't do a whole lot, which was a big high for me. Like, it was just great. Yeah. There was a garden plot the kids essentially tilled for this family. Single-handedly.
Our hosts were so nice about it. But also our kids were like, I'm gonna break up every clod of soil in this garden. And it was a big size garden too.
Yeah, it was pretty large.
That really kept them entertained for multiple hours. Like, yeah, at different times too. They went back for more.
Those clothes were pretty crusted, though, once they were, like, dipped in the creek and then breaking about dirt clumps in the back of the creek and then back to the dirt clumps. That was a gnarly laundry bag that I just threw straight in the washer. They were damp for most of that trip.
Yes.
Once it warmed up, it was okay. That first night was pretty chilly, and that first morning was kind of chilly, and then it heated up to like a comfortable, like a sunny, comfortable
Yeah.
temperature. Yeah. The night it was like we started the nights with a fan on, with like a battery powered fan, and then by like, you know, the second or third wake up that my youngest woke me up for, I turned it off. But yeah, a body heat too in a camper is wonderful because they were pretty chilly nights. They were in like the high 30s, maybe low 40s at night.
Yeah.
And but the body heat that six people and two dogs can emit in a solar oven, as you called it in our last podcast, really, really helped us out with that trip.
It did. It did. I was not nearly as cold in the camper as you had prepared me to be. Coming off of your night in Tennessee, you were. You said you were real cold that night.
We were. Well, part of the problem there too was that I over-prepared, and so I sweated. And for the like experienced adventurer, which I did not act like they would know, that that's a no-go. But for those lesser experienced like I was, when you sweat, if you bundle up too much, you'll sweat and then you're damp and then it gets cold and then you freeze. And that's where I was at. That's where I was living that night in Tennessee. But it's okay because we lived.
It's okay because we lived. Put that on a shirt, Nikki.
Six of my crew, three kids, me, two dogs. We all made it out of Tennessee.
But did you die? No. Next adventure.
And onward. Yeah. And then the other big high for me was just the accomplishment of feeling like I took my crew across the country. We saw a really cool eclipse. The eclipse, I guess, was a high too. That was cool.
Yeah, you guess. Are you an eclipse person now, Nikki?
No. I did it for the education and for the excuse to go camping with my friends.
That's fair. I thought it was super cool. I cried.
I love that for you. I love that it was so exciting for so many people.
I was cool. Also like, what was I, like 3 months postpartum? Cried at everything. Everything made me cry. Whatever.
Let it be known you did this with a 3-month-old.
I did. Like,
not just your postpartum hormones, but like you had a tiny person with you.
I did have a very tiny person with me. I did it. Yeah. It was an adventure. It's always an adventure. But yeah. I think that's like one of the gifts of the subsequent children. Like, I know I can do hard things. I've done hard.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner. So you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Things before. I've done hard things with children. And so on one hand, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to cross six states with like three children, one of them who is an infant. Yeah, why not? I can do that. Like, it doesn't phase me quite as much as maybe it definitely phases other people. Like literally until the day I left, my dad was like, do you want me to come with you? Like just for the trip and I'll fly home once we get there. Like, I don't want to come to your camping trip. I think we'll be fine, but thank you. I really appreciate it.
What a sweetie.
Yeah. But we did it. We did the thing.
Yeah. And that's like, I think, that's huge. That's a huge win.
Yeah. Babies are very portable.
Like,
yeah.
Especially, like, breastfed babies. I don't have to worry about really anything. You know, I'm not concerned about making bottles.
You got what she needs.
Yeah. Like, me, her, let's go. We're good. I think I've done a lot of adventuring with, like, my kids when they're quite small.
Yeah.
And, like, in that first year, a lot of our adventures have taken place with tiny, tiny people.
My oldest was not breastfed, and it was definitely trickier making sure that we had formula and bottles and enough, like, that there's enough clean and
and enough water, depending on where you are, like, if you're going on a longer adventure.
But yeah, doing like our trip, like if I were on our camping trip with, you know, a baby your youngest age, and if she weren't breastfed, it would have been a whole lot harder. All that to say that.
Yeah, I can't even imagine what level of planning that would have been. Just how are we feeding the baby?
Yeah, and that bottles are sterilized properly when nothing is sterilized properly when you're camping.
No, everything is a little gross. Should we talk about gross things? Is that our segue?
Sure. What gross things do you want to talk about? There's a whole lot of gross during camping.
There was a lot of gross. So
I have in my mind the grossest thing. What's in your mind the grossest thing?
I can only assume it's the same grossest thing.
One, two, three. Cleaning the toilet.
Yeah. So this campsite, you know, it was a hip camp. A lot of hip camps don't have, like, any kind of toilet facilities, any kind of running water, which we knew going in that we didn't have access to running water or a toilet or any of that. We brought plenty of jugs of water. We were good on that. Mm-hmm. And we brought Nikki's camping toilet.
For any fellow adventurers who are interested, it is actually a maritime toilet. I didn't think of, I did a lot of research on camping toilets, and there was very limited things, but mine came with the camper from the previous owner, and it is one that goes on a boat. And so it's a really great compostable. It has chemicals. We did not use any of the chemicals. We just, we didn't dive that deep into it. But it has the ability to have, like, it has a water pump to rinse. It has chemicals to kind of be like, to have odor neutralizing, and also to break it down a little bit better for if you are pooing in the toilet, which we did not, which is part two of this. But you had the ability to do all of your business in the toilet, have it broken down, and then be able to dispose of it in a eco-friendly way.
That's so fancy. I didn't even know that number two was an option for that toilet.
It wasn't for our trip.
That way. Sure. Not for us.
Because I didn't research and prepare to bring the chemicals that it needed. And I wasn't sure if we had enough. Like, that was a level of planning that I didn't venture into yet. Maybe for our next, we'll be able to do everything in it. But for our journey, it was a pee pot.
Mm-hmm. And then we taught our kids to poop in bags, to sit on the toilet and poop into a bag. And my kids simultaneously loved and hated it. I think we talked last week, our kids like to use the bathroom in weird places where they shouldn't. So the fact that we told them, please poop in this bag, and then, like, bring it to me so I can, like... feel like it really tickled their funny bone.
Yeah.
They're very proud of themselves still for pooping in bags.
They should be. I was 32 before I ever pooped in a bag. They were not. They were five.
Exactly. Three. They we walked so they could run, you know.
And then so we found out
that toilet has to be emptied.
Just how much pee that pot can hold. It is. So it can. Much. It's a lot of pee. It held a lot, but
so much.
And then we had a little tent that went around it too. So there was a little bit of privacy, but then the tent came down and Ashley and I co-shuffled the toilet, and our host, you know, told us where they would like it dumped and then where the water spigot was. And I'm sure that Billy, our host, was inside listening.
I hope he was, because that was, I mean, we paid him for that entertainment, you know, it wasn't even free entertainment. We gave him money and then he got to listen to us. And also, our children cheered for us at one point while we were emptying the toilet. I don't remember which of them decided to rally all of the other children to cheer for us, but it was like, again, it was mixed emotions. Like, it was simultaneously endearing, but also felt like a little bit of bullying.
It was an organized cheer too. It wasn't like, yeah,
like, mom, are they mocking us?
It was like full on like, yeah, yeah, mom, go clean the toilet. Like, it was an organized
chant. It had been practiced.
And at the same time, at the point that they were cheering that, like, it wasn't clean yet. And I was like, do not break my focus and make me slosh urine on myself right now. Like, I appreciate the sentiment and I am not responding to it.
I appreciate your congratulations. Also, I need to focus on this pee pot.
Yes. And we came out of that unscathed.
We did.
It got clean and we were not covered in anything gross. We sanitized well afterwards, but not out of desperate need of, you know.
Yeah, we weren't wearing anything on ourselves. We got in the cars and drove away with those clothes on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although I smelled so bad, I'm not sure if you would have noticed if I did. So that was one gross thing. Was there any other gross things you can think of? Also the girls helped with dishes. So it was shoddy. It was destined to be shoddy. Yeah,
but they like really wanted to help.
They did, and they were so sweet.
Yeah. Those middle girls needed to be helpers.
Yes. Also, this is something I never considered before, is that the amount of concern I have to have about disinfecting dramatically decreases when we're eating vegan. So there's not chicken guts or anything like that. That's a big thing when I'm camping with my husband, is that
you normally bring like raw meats with you and then cook, or do you do pre-cook? Because you did a lot of pre-cook on this trip.
I did. When I'm with my husband, we don't pre-make. I pre-make some, but especially with meats, a lot of times I'll freeze it. So we did tacos one night at our last camping trip, and I froze the ground turkey, and then it thaws in the cooler inevitably just because it's hot. And but it thaws to like a safe refrigerator level, and then I just cook it as I would over on the camp stove. Burgers are one we'll do raw. Oh, I brought chicken drums. Did barbecue grilled chicken drums. So yes, we bring raw meat sometimes, but it adds another level of caution to make sure that chicken juices or raw meat stuff isn't contaminating, which usually means wiping anything down with Clorox wipes before washing it in not the most sterile type of dishwashing environment.
Okay.
So that's how we handle raw meat. And then I have disposable cutting boards, which were gifted to me. It's not my favorite approach, but I have to get kind of crafty with what like cutting surfaces I use and how I do things to minimize the amount of contamination and also minimize any cross-contamination. All that to say, eating vegan, so much easier when you're camping.
I'm so vegan happy camper. To do that for you.
Oh my gosh, it really was a lot easier.
Yes. It's all I've ever known, but I'm glad I could make life easier for you.
And my kids are so excited to eat vegan like their friends.
Love it. Yeah, so we ate really well on this trip because Nikki is a planner and she pre-cooked a lot of food.
And I love
it. And I brought a lot of snacks because
yes,
snacks are my love language.
that can segue into though how we split, kind of how we execute a trip and split it. The biggest thing I think is just good communication, because things can slip through the cracks. And if you're walking on eggshells too much to delegate responsibilities or split things equally, you'll either everything will slip through the cracks or you'll be doing it all yourself. And what we did was, I did meals, I did snacks, which with our crew, is a very, it possibly is unfairly weighted in your corner. Our kids don't really eat meals. They graze snacks all day. So
yeah. Yeah. My kids are snacks all days. And one of my children is, he is a very selective eater. And so that adds like another level of complexity when we're not at home in our normal surroundings, because he needs things to be a certain way. So,
and that was snacks another are thing.
A saving grace.
Yeah. And we had to communicate a lot about that too, of like, okay, so we want to eat these stuffed peppers and I am excited about that, but realistically are our kids going to eat it? So what's the, like, how can we switch that? And that's, I think, when we did quesadillas.
Yeah, probably. Cause that's usually my, my flex to him is anything, anything remotely Mexican Tex-Mex served in a tortilla, he can have a quesadilla. But he'll also eat like a whole can of beans, just like unseasoned, uncooked, rinsed black beans. So I don't love saying that he's a picky eater, because maybe he is, but he's really a selective eater. Like, you cooked this food? No, I don't want it that way. Could I please have this entire meal served raw and unseasoned? Like, that's what he wants. And that is very weird to me. But yeah, communication is key.
Yep. And just having an abundance of snacks too for when they don't eat, or when they're so excited in the creek that they don't want to eat lunch. So they're going to eat popcorn later. And then I brought the camper. Mm-hmm. You usually bring activities. Activities is usually so how it falls.
Some bubble stuff. We just got like dueling stomp rockets. We brought those. Brought some like lawn game type stuff. Some books.
You actually enjoy camping, so you think of what activities to bring to enjoy it, whereas I just like the planning. I forget to actually have fun on the trip. So that works out well.
Well, I have this vision that's yet to come to fruition with camping with children, but one day we're going to be camping somewhere and my children are going to be amused doing something and like not trying to hurt each other. And I'm going to finally get to use my camp hammock. I'm going to get to lay there in my camp hammock and read my book and maybe even have a drink and just enjoy my bliss. And that has yet to happen, but I have dreams. And that starts with bringing a lot of activities for my children.
Let me know when that happens, because that sounds glorious and incredibly.
It's a two-person hammock. Now. There's room for you, girl.
any other input on how we kind of just split responsibilities and make it happen? You sent me some curriculum, some like science-y stuff so that I knew what an eclipse was.
In my house, we've had a super light homeschool year on account of having a baby, but a unit study about something relevant has been like just carrying us through. So we studied eclipse. We've studied the United Kingdom. We study a lot of plants because we're all gardening people. All is well.
Oh, yeah. And then
he just has to do math worksheets in the summer, but it's fine. He doesn't know any different.
Have him count zinnias. Have him count plants out back.
Yeah. 4 zinnias plus 6 tomatoes. Go.
You have to split these 10 zinnias amongst everyone in your family.
It works. Love it.
Homeschool moms are creative.
Get it done.
What were other highs for you? What were like the high points of the camping trip?
I think the creek and watching the eclipse in general. I did think it was really cool. I'm an eclipse person. I'm not ashamed. It was.
You shouldn't be. It's wonderful.
Did you have any other highs, or should we maybe talk about some lows that we haven't already hit on?
It was just sweet. It was a sweet time. Oh, the group hug at the end. I have a picture and a short video of all of our kids having a group hug. That hit me in the feels.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is a fun one. We listened to Narnia Prince Caspian on the road trip home because audiobooks are wonderful on road trips.
Love it.
Yeah, and it was so cute. And I want to use all of the names from that book in my life. My life surrounds me. They were so good. I can't remember any of them now, but it would be helpful to say them. But they were very cute. It's very whimsical and fun. And you are a queen of Narnia. So any questions that I had along the way, you were just a phone call.
Oh my
away.
Gosh. So like the week after we were camping, you sent me a text and you're like, what book do we listen to after the book we're listening to now? And I sent you the order, and then I go upstairs to go to bed, and like I leave my phone downstairs, and 5 minutes later I come back downstairs and my husband's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, there's two ways to read the series, and I only text Nikki one, and I need to text her the other because like you can read it this way, but also you can read it this way, and they both make sense. And he's staring at me like a crazy person, and I'm just like, Narnia is my Roman Empire. Like, apparently men think about the Roman Empire a lot. I think about Narnia a lot.
And I was impressed that I got a text.
I had to get out of bed to just make sure that all of this information was yours, because there are options.
And it was at like 10 o'clock at night, which you are not normally. I will text you knowing that you will sleep through, hoping that you will sleep through any text I send you. But I don't expect a response. And I got one when I asked the right question about Narnia.
It's true. Very little gets me up and out of bed. Narnia. That's it.
I don't want to talk about lows because I want for everyone in internet land to think that any trip that I plan and we do together is nothing but highs. But alas, they already know about Tennessee and the toilet. So they're aware that there's some lows.
Yeah, we've outed ourselves. Also, it turns out that if you're putting six kids to bed at the same time in the same shared space, that's really hard. Bedtime both nights. I don't want to say it almost broke me, but like, man, that was hard. Like,
yes. Bedtime at camping is hard no matter what for me. I have one who will put herself to sleep, one who will like slowly talk himself to sleep, and my youngest will fight sleep with every ounce that her little one-year-old body has. Like, she is up jumping until she falls over.
Is she like that at home too, or just camping?
To some degree at home. Also, if she is touching my middle child wants to be touched by absolutely nothing. But these beds be small.
Yeah, and there's really no way to not touch.
And my littlest wants to touch everybody all at the same time. And my middle will scream like a banshee if her blankie is touched. So that has been every camping trip I've taken with them. But then is just magnified by their besties being there too. When your crew is there. I think our boys got in a wrestling match at one point. Did they ever fall asleep in the same bed, or did they quit? Did they just wrestle?
No, they never did. That was our grand plan, was that mommies and daughters would snuggle nicely in the larger beds and the boys would sleep, the two of them themselves, in the twin. And yeah, that didn't happen. It was a nice thought though.
Even just hearing you say it again, repeat it, I'm like, how did we not think that was going to be WWE? Like, why did we?
I think we thought they would just be so happy that they would be like, oh yes, mother dearest, let me go to sleep now.
No, it was rough. We read books, we wrestled, we were pounced upon. Oh gosh, at one night, your kids have very large stuffed animals, and they were just weapons. And like,
yes,
our kids have small, like, still relatively large stuffed animals, but not as large
as yours. No, but mine, my children both love a big stuffed animal. And when we go places, like, it's, there's usually tears, like, if they get to come or not. So we have Lion and we have Big Green Dino, and they are both large and in charge. They didn't get to come to the United Kingdom, and there was great grief and sadness.
Some side bailing. Note. I love that your dino is called Big Green Dino, and my son's dino is T-Rexy, because we have incredibly creative children. And we did not know that Big Green Dino and T-Rexy could become weapons, but they were at bedtime.
Yes. Yes. Anything's a weapon if you try hard enough.
They were wielded against the sisters, who were not consenting.
Not having it.
The assault. No. They were late nights. No. Those were rough.
Yeah.
Eventually we slept.
Yeah. Eventually we all slept. And eventually they always do go to sleep. There's never been a night where my kids have stayed up all night. But I think in that moment, it's really hard to be like, okay, this too shall pass. Because, like, the only way out is through. And, like, you really don't want to go through. Because.
Because it sucks. That's the stinkiest part of camping with kids, I think, is bedtime. And I will always recommend to arrive at camp early to try to tucker your kids out, but especially first night camping, no matter the situation. I've never been someplace at the first night camping that they go to sleep easily. Here and there, not with my third, because she'd be crazy. But when I would camp with my two olders, I could tucker them out enough that by the second day, if we hiked all day, they would be more ready for bed and go to bed easier.
Yeah.
But first night camping, it's always a nightmare. I don't know. I don't have any encouraging words other than sometimes the second night is easier.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
I wish I had this is how you fix bedtime while camping, but I don't have it yet. Maybe we'll have it one day.
One thing that I found, which is very minute, but I cannot have lights on. In my mind, having a nightlight or having the fairy lights on or something would be comforting. But no, if they can see anything, they are going to hold on to the hope of being awake. They need it dark. And it feels like growing up, I didn't want it dark. So I thought that they wanted to either. But every time that I've just reached that final straw where I'm like, that's it, I'm turning off the lights, that's always way closer to when they actually go to sleep. Like, once I turn off the lights, they settle down much quicker. So that's the only tidbit. And it's that they settle down quicker, not that it makes bedtime easier.
Right. It's not instant. It's still still a thing.
Any other lows?
My baby got a sunburn on her face, and it was atrocious. So eclipse is in April. We're in Indiana. We're decently north. It was bizarre in that it was not a day that I would have even said was particularly sunny or warm or whatever.
And we are sunscreeners.
Yes.
Who sunscreen and remember to sunscreen even on cloudy days sometimes. This one took me by surprise too. It was a bizarre
sunburn. No one else got sunburned. No one else, I feel like, even got any color to them. My girl woke up the day of the eclipse, the Monday. Like, we knew she was sunburnt on Sunday. We saw her face was red. Monday morning, she wakes up and her face has blistered. And, like, now I'm panicking because my tiny baby girl has a blister on her face and it looks just atrocious.
She was quite swollen too. Like, it wasn't,
yeah.
You were not.
Oh, I forgot her face was really swollen too. Yeah. Like, her whole face. So
your panic was valid.
Yeah. We had breakfast. I called my husband. We had signal, which was really nice. We could make contact with other humans. I made a plan with my husband. We decided that I was going to take her to the nearest emergency room just to get looked at, because she's tiny. She was 3 months old. She had this atrocious blister on her face.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were camping and I was like, if I need to do something here, I'm not really in a position here in this field to really do too much. So Nikki held it down and watched my two bigs while I took the baby into town and got her checked out. And everyone at the hospital was very sweet. I was dreading going because I was like, this feels like a very like negligent mom who lets her baby get sunburned.
She was taking a very peaceful nap too. Like it was,
she was,
yeah. It was a sweet sun nap. Like those things that we want for our kids to, you know, those experiences and those moments that we want our kids to have as nature kids.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, my kid's napping outdoors. Look at me go. Got a sunburn, but everyone at the hospital was very nice. And we wound up getting some Neosporin and they sent us on our way. So it was pretty anticlimactic as far as hospital visits go, but I suppose that's the way you want hospital visits.
Yeah.
You want them to be anticlimactic because we were in and out of there pretty quickly. And made it back in time with plenty of time to watch the eclipse, which was my other very selfish concern, was that we had traveled all this way and I was going to be stuck in an emergency room with my baby, not watching the eclipse with my big babies. But we made it back and it was fine. And then that sweet girl's blister burst the next day on the drive home. And that was also gross. but a little less like walking on eggshells, worried about it bursting because it burst.
Yeah.
And then she was fine. And I now slather that baby with sunscreen anytime she so much as thinks about the sun. I do think that she is probably going to be our ginger baby. And that sunburn really confirmed that for me. So that was an unfortunate camping adventure. But it was not nearly as bad as it could have been, which I'm very thankful about.
And thanks to our husbands, we have incredibly decked out first aid kits too.
We sure
you have
do.
Like a full first aid bag, which I used. I don't think I told you, my husband made sure that I had a military like med kit like in the camper. So, and I forgot about it because I was like, do you have tweezers in your huge bag? Yeah. Mine also made sure like it was a full like med kit army first responder. Like,
yeah. Yeah. No, I feel like I prepared for many, many medical emergencies. And in hindsight, like I had Neosporin in this bag. I had multiple tubes of Neosporin, which was all we wound up doing at the hospital anyway, but it was
but having that validation that all you needed was Neosporin.
Yes. Yeah.
Was great. Sure. Just another tip for adventurers is I keep Tylenol and Benadryl. Like I never before kids would have considered bringing medication on trips, but having an allergy medicine in a rare case that we find an allergen.
Yeah.
Had a scare with my middle that she might have had some severe allergies and that all tested out, but it just opened my eyes to never knowing like what might pop up. And if you're in the middle of a field or in the woods, like you might have a little trip to get somewhere that can help you more. So right. Having an allergy medicine on hand, like a Tylenol on hand, and then I also, this is like, I'm so proud of this hack. Your girl's sunburn, between the severity of her burn and also her age, like we opted not to use it, but I have used it on myself, is when you have a child in the hospital, they give you dermaplast.
And it's amazing.
And it's wonderful for postpartum, but also on the can, it says it's a burn cream. So, or a burn spray. So I've used it on sunburns before and it is magic. And I have a whole stash of them from birthing my kids. So why not put one in the car? And if you get sunburned, of course, like please take your kid to the hospital if it is alarming. Like your girl's burn was alarming. But also like I'll spray my big kids in some dermaplast if they just get a little bit red.
Yeah.
Hey,
have a thought that was brilliant. When you pulled that out, just 10 out of 10.
never considered that it could be for anything other than birth, but it's wonderful. It's also, I think, an anti-itch and mm-hmm. a burn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we already covered my lows. It was just mm-hmm. the bedtimes, emptying the toilet, the Tennessee stop, ticks, but we're getting acclimated to ticks. Like, that's just part of life. It's the downside, I think, of having dogs in the camper and having that security of having the dogs. But none of them attached to my kids. I think they did on yours.
I think there was one. Yeah. Yeah.
What did you learn on our camping trip? What were your takeaways?
I think my takeaway was more confidence in what we can do. And like distances we can travel. Because that felt like outlandishly far from home.
Yeah. Maybe in 10 years it won't feel that way. Like maybe, you know, we'll find ourselves in 10 years traveling the world and like, huh, remember that time that we thought a trip to Indiana was so big.
But I think a lot of like for my family, a lot of our very far trips, which we take, but they're almost always in the context of like visiting family or seeing family.
Yeah.
They're not like, let's go far and have an adventure in that way of like so many unknowns. And so I think having this trip under our belts and being able to say like, oh, okay, we could do something further, something more outside of our comfort zone, something a little more adventurous, and like, it's totally doable.
Yeah. It sounded wild. I remember sitting in my house as I was packing up because I was about to move and being like, let's go see the eclipse. It felt outlandish.
Mm-hmm.
But then we did it.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was great.
And we did see like a very rare phenomenon.
Right. I don't think we needed it to be, we didn't need to fill in all the time with all of these other things because there was something super cool that we were there to see. And we saw it. We did the thing.
Yeah. For me, there was, it was definitely a confidence thing, especially, you know, being a military wife, and it's always looming in my mind, future deployments and things, and like, oh gosh, how am I going to do things without my husband? Like, and just building those muscles. Oh my gosh, reading the text message from my husband. He sent at least one saying, like, I just think it's so great what you're doing. Like, you're doing it. I'm proud of you. And
that's so sweet.
It's the best because it feels like a mountain. And it's always in my mind that right now it is. I'm choosing that mountain, but I know that probably soon I'm not going to be choosing it. I'm going to just be living that. And knowing that my life isn't going to stop then, and I can still do adventures and parent, and I'm sure it will look different, but that I can do it on my own. It was also a huge win for me to manage the camper and the kids on my own. And my in-laws helped me hook it up when I embarked on our eclipse trip, but in Tennessee and then in Indiana, like I did it. And then when I got home, my husband was still gone. And so I had to get it like folded up in a way that wouldn't mold, you know, like take care of it. Right. And then get it into the garage on my own. And that was just really empowering. Like I can do it. Like it stinks. I don't like backing up a trailer. But I can do it, and I don't like having to problem solve and make sure that dehumidifiers are running so that it doesn't mold and get it all battened down and cleared out, you know, cleaned and stuff. I loved so much on our last trip that my husband did all of that. I prefer for him to do it, but I can do it, and I will, and I'm sure I will again. So that was a really big learning curve. We need to name it still. It's not named.
Yes.
Our kids came up with one really horrible name, and I don't have the heart to tell them that it sucks, but
yeah, I don't remember it though. I just remembered it was bad.
So like, so, yeah, maybe let's keep voting on things.
And I think also some of the kids liked it and some of the kids did not like it.
Well, that's going to be with anything. My kids, you can't pay them to agree on something right now. Unless it's television. And then it's a miracle what they can agree on, because I tell them that if they can't agree, I'm not turning it on. But yeah, so if any listeners have ideas, please send me suggestions. Send us suggestions. We'll take suggestions. It is, I got it with Ashley in mind. Made sure that it had enough space to fit both of our crews. So even though it lives in my garage, I feel like it is our camper.
We share it. I can't maintain it, can't drive it, can't hook it up, and have never backed up a trailer. But yeah, it's also mine.
I think that wraps up my things on it. If anybody has questions too, like, I love hearing what other people are doing encourages and inspires me. And then also hearing the different ways that they tackled it, or the things that they learned along the way, or things that could help me. So if anybody is like, wow, how did you do this? Or what, you know, I would always love to encourage. I would love for more people to be out adventuring. So let us know if anything. Our email, we have an email.
Oh, do tell.
Did you know that we have an email? Okay, so it is adventuremamaspodcast@gmail.com.
So it's so easy to remember.
And we'd love to chat. Or if you have anything that you're like, dear God, don't put dermaplast on a sunburn or something. Let me know.
That's true. That's true. If you hear us say something ridiculous, also let us know, because we are making this up as we go along. And usually it's working out. But
doesn't always. We have not figured everything out. So yeah, we will. You have a plan for next time? Anything to sneak peek, or are we going to make it up between now and then?
I think next week we are going to talk about taking your kiddos to the beach.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yep. It is high beach season, both here and there. It's Nikki's not favorite adventure, so it'll be fun.
You love a beach and I don't.
Yeah, it's okay. We can still be friends.
Yeah, we still take our kids to the beach, so we'll talk about that.
Next week, tips, tricks, beach disasters, beach winds. It'll be good.
All right, see everybody next time. Bye.